It's time to talk about the outdoors in South Alabama. Hunting, fishing, and getting outside along the Great Gulf Coast. It's time to take it outside with FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. With reports, stories, how-to information, and Dr. Bill's Marine Forecast. Here's Sean Sullivan and Mike Ward.
Well, that was fun while it lasted.
It wasn't very long, was it?
Now, welcome to FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. I'm Sean Sullivan, Mike Ward right there. And, we're starting off with the news that came out this last week with the early closure of red snapper season here in the state of Alabama.
Yeah, you know, I didn't get to go. I've been like four times, you know.
So you and I, one, two, three. I've been four times.
Yeah.
I've been four times.
Well, I've actually been five, but I can't count one of them because we went out and everybody got sick. It was rough, and everybody got sick, and we ended up coming back in. So I don't count that one. So I've only been four times all year.
You had yesterday, you have today, you have tomorrow, and Monday, and Friday.
We are talking about snapper season, everybody.
Yes, as we're talking about the change here. The predicted, you know, at the launch, it's a predicted length of a season. They say that at the beginning. Predicted length of the season was going to go through Sunday, July 19th, the last day of the Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo. Of course, those of you who hadn't been watching this, we opened in late May with these four-day seasons, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. But this is a part of a bigger story. I want to do this. Let's do this. I'm going to play a clip of an interview I did earlier this week on Wednesday when the announcement came out with Director of Alabama Marine Resources. And actually, at the point that I had the interview with Scott Bannon, we didn't know that July 3rd would be the day of closure. But we do now. But I'm going to play that as we get into that conversation. A few minutes here of that conversation. We'll come back, and then we're going to get into this in depth on this edition of the show. So let's do this. This is an interview from the Midday Mobile Show this week. And Scott Bannon, Director of Alabama Marine Resources, explaining why snapper season's ending early. What is going on here? Let's go back to what the season date was set for, the amount of days, and then what you see that you know now, what things may be, and how did we get here? Is that fair enough to unpack that?
Yes, you've outlined it pretty well. So we opened May 22nd, and we had tentatively planned to get through July 19th and doing four-day weekends. And that was based on some modeling with average weather, sea height, and average effort over the last 3 years, 2 years of which were in the exempted fishing permit, so state management. And so we put that together. We came up with a number of days that we thought we could fish the 1.12 million pounds that were allocated to Alabama under the state management. And then we started fishing this year. And for anybody that's been out there, we have fished pretty well. There's been the amount of effort has been tremendous, which is what we want. People have taken advantage of it. Generally, we see a peak in the beginning of the season. And as it progresses, the effort drops a little bit, and people are out doing other things. But this year, there were not other things available, and the effort remained very high. And to give you a description of that effort, last 2 years, we averaged about 530 vessel trips per day. You know, Fridays would be a little lower, Sundays would be lower, Saturdays would be the highest. We're averaging around 800 vessel trips per day. So that's a tremendous increase.
So that is the average. So meaning out of the four days a week that we fish, you know, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, that the combination averages out to 800 versus it was 30 last year?
About 530, yes.
Is that all? There's got to be. I mean, you mentioned it. And I've been talking about this on the outdoor show, the weekend show that I do with Mike Ward, about how there is increased activity around turkey hunting and a bunch of outdoor pursuits when people couldn't do whatever the things that they usually do, not in the outdoors, were. So you believe that that is what has caused this increase from 530 average trips a day to 800, that being quarantined or whatever?
I believe that the pandemic has had an impact. We have considered boating to be a safe and healthy activity. Fuel prices are relatively low. And right now, you cannot go to Disney. You can't get on a cruise ship. You can't go to the Caribbean. You can't go to Grandma's. You're not playing travel baseball. You're not playing travel soccer and volleyball. You're very limited in your outdoor activities. And so fishing is what you're doing. Your weekends are now occupied with fishing, and we're thankful we've had this opportunity. And as I told someone yesterday, I said, if you don't think a lot of people are going fishing, you hadn't gone fishing or you hadn't walked a mile to get your trailer or tried to find a parking spot at a public access boat ramp.
It's good for me to think about it that way, because I'm one of those people out there that nothing changed. I said this in a guilty kind of way to the audience several times, that my hobbies didn't change. The same things that I did through, you know, stay-at-home orders and quarantine and all that, outdoors things are the same things I'll do after this that I did before that. But you're saying there's a percentage, maybe we could say, that extra 270 people a day that would in the past have been playing racquetball or going on a cruise or something like that.
Absolutely. I think there would have been other activities that would have conflicted with their opportunities to go fishing. So, and the weather has been good, even with the Cristobal weekend in there. And you and I had talked about this before. Mm-hmm. We account for a certain amount of weather, inclement weather, being involved in the season. And so we got it that weekend. And and I'll go ahead and put it out there. We're going to fish this weekend. This weekend will be open. We will be open through Monday. We have not determined what the final day will be, but we are over 800,000 pounds of fish, and we're fishing pretty close to 200,000 pounds per weekend. I'm not the best at math, but very rudimentary math tells me that we're close. We're working with the commissioner to make a final decision on what we think will be the final day.
Let's explain that to folks, too, that haven't heard all the conversations we've had in the past about this. You talk about 200,000 pounds or 800,000 pounds. Discuss how that works, right? There's a formula. I mean, how do we arrive at we've caught this many 100,000 pounds? How do you arrive at that? What's A, what's plus B equals C? How do you do that?
Sure. So what we do is we are allocated the amount of snapper we're allowed to catch, and this year it was 1.12 million pounds. And then we use snapper check. We get the reports from snapper check. And so that's required before landing. And so we get a number of fish. We get a number of trips from that. And then our staff works at public access boat ramps and marinas, and we interview people. So we get the weights, because a lot of people say you're not asking for length and weight in snapper check. We're just asking for numbers of fish.
Mm-hmm.
So we get the length and weights and other data from our dockside surveys. And then we take the survey reports and we compare it to snapper check, and we get a reporting rate. So if we interviewed 10 people and 7 of them reported in snapper check, your reporting rate would be 70%. Unfortunately, our reporting rate was a little lower this year. It was around 40%. And so then you just use basically a math problem to say that you had this many reports, you've determined your reporting rate is such, and your average weight of fish, which, by the way, is very similar to the last couple of years. It didn't change much. I think it's probably about 6.5 pounds, 6.4 pounds, somewhere in that neighborhood. So you put all that together, and it gives you an estimate for the number of trips per day and the number of pounds that have been harvested.
I want to go back to that reporting rate part of this and help folks understand that. So you said if you went and checked 10 people and 7 had reported, you have a 70% reporting rate. But how do you know – how do you have the fixed number? Like, okay, you've gone and checked these folks when you do the folks in the navy blue shirts or the light blue shirts come up and do the survey at the boat dock. That's one thing. But how do you know how many people – you know how many people filled in their snapper check? You know, we send that in, we hit the button when we're coming in. But how do you know how many did not? I mean, is there a way to prove a negative almost?
Basically, when you have those 10 people that you surveyed and 3 of them did not report, and you develop and you say that that's an average of 70% reporting, you then apply that to the number of trips. So if you have 700 trips, then you would say, well, if your reporting rate is 70%, well, then you had that reported, 700 trips are reported. Well, then you would have an estimate of 1,000 trips total. So that's some very basic views of it. The algorithm is slightly more complicated than that and brings in some other factors, but kind of as a 30,000-foot view, that's what it looks like.
So how do you – okay, so you take that survey we were talking about where 7 out of the 10 – did snapper check. Is that done one time at one place? Is that a is that an average of y'all checking people at 15 times at five different boat docks? Or I mean, is there how's that done?
So it's at a variety. It's a random draw process that is used to determine what locations are used and what times are used to gather that data. And so you may see a survey person at the Fort Morgan ramp on Saturday, and then Sunday you go back fishing and they're not there, but they may be at the Dolphin Island Marina that day. And so it's across both counties, and it includes marinas and public access boat ramps. So we try and we do realize that there's a factor where people who leave from their homes, who have waterside homes and boat docks and boat lifts, that we're not capturing that as well, but we factor that in. So,
all right. So there's a little bit of the interview from Wednesday. We're coming right back. Talk more about early closure of red snapper season. Also, some other fishing discussion. The fish were left to catch. Mike's going to tell us where they are. We'll do that when we come back. Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Sean Sullivan, Mike Ward. And that clip was from Wednesday's Midday Mobile when Alabama Marine Resources Director Scott Bannon joined us. And just go back through some of the points that he discussed in that. Number one, to set the overall framework. And I'll tell you, it's not just that I know Scott. It's not just that I know him, but I know the reasonings and I know the facts behind things. And I've seen some things on social media that were spot on this, and I've seen some things on social media that were ignorant. Okay, so let's just talk about, once again, the things that are true. The feds set the tonnage.
Right.
Even though we have state control, you know, I see people out there saying, well, state of Alabama took away our tonnage. No, no, no. I don't like the situation any more than anybody else, but I want to make sure we're dealing in facts. And dang internet is chock full of no facts.
Non-facts.
Right. Feds set the tonnage. Remember back when the feds set the tonnage and set the season.
That's right. And they gave us 2 days.
2 days, 1 year, five
days.
And
it didn't matter if a hurricane came through. That was your 2 days.
I mean, the whole system stinks. I'm with y'all.
It still stinks. The whole thing stinks.
But understand when you're assessing blame here. So what the state has to do is, okay, we get our tonnage, which what he says is 2.2 million or 2.1 million. Okay. So out of that, you got to start, and it's, I know I probably don't have to say it on this show. I had to say it on the midday show. It's not individual fish. It's total. The formula is they give you whatever your tonnage is. Let's say it's, you know, 1.2 million pounds. And then you say the average size of the fish. I think Scott says, and there's 6.4 this year was what the
pounds,
average is.
Yeah.
So you then divide that in, number of anglers. That's how they come up with the number of days. Okay. So the state gets to set how we will achieve that tonnage.
Yeah.
But we can't go right to the edge of it because you have to build in a buffer. Number one, they have a buffer that they build in your tonnage. The feds do. In addition, the state builds in a buffer because if we go over, remember this, what would happen? The next year,
you lose
it.
Yeah.
So again, I don't like these things. I just want y'all to know that that's a system. So the state sets that. All right. So they do the formula. This story on, at least what I'm taking from it, And the early closure, which, by the way, if you didn't hear us talking about before, so season's open. It was open yesterday. It's open today, tomorrow, Monday. It's open on this coming Friday, July 3rd, and then that's it.
Okay, but, I didn't hear the July 3rd.
Yeah, so July 3rd.
Okay.
So, and the way it reads here, let's get the actual language here, but it's because it's always been a confusing thing because seasons open and close at midnight and close at mid, you know, and we all think about how the days are. All right. So it says, as it reads here from the state, from Marine Resources, after completing a review of the first 20 days of the proposed 2020 private angler red snapper season, the Alabama Department of Conservation and Natural Resources anticipates the quota for the private angler red snapper season will be met on Friday, July 3rd, 2020. Therefore, Alabama waters will close to private anglers and state-licensed charter red snapper fishing effective at 11:59 p.m. on Friday, July 3rd.
Private and charter?
State charter.
What?
State charter. See, that's one of the things that gets confused, too. There's state charter, like Captain Bobby.
Right, he's a state charter. Yeah. Okay.
So there's state charter licenses. Yeah. They're different than the federal for hire charter. That's a different segment. So the state charter people are still lumped in with us, the recreational folks. It's the IFQ people that are in the other division.
Yeah.
Which is just a whole other discussion. Because, yes, they'll still be able to fish. But the season goes through Friday at 11:59 p.m. So Friday you can fish.
Next Friday.
This coming Friday.
Yes.
This coming Friday you can fish. All right. So July 3rd. And then when you come in, you start getting the bottle rockets ready. That's it.
Yep.
You know, that's okay. So back to the bigger discussion here. So we have the amount of tonnage that the feds talk about that's out there. And then you figure out how you have a way to achieve that. Certain number of days, trips, number of people who go, who catch their limit at 6.4 pounds and get to the tonnage. So here's one of the big takeaways. If you heard it during the interview, so Director Bannon says that the number of trips comparing year to year, last year to this year.
Yeah.
Okay. So trips, and by the way, when I was playing this game, when I first heard this, I was trying to, I was saying three people per boat average. So it's actually four people was the average per boat. So remember that. But we're going to talk about just boats. So trips, when I say trips, that represents boats.
Right.
They go, not individual anglers. There were average last year 530 trips per day. They average in the, you know, because Saturday's more, Monday's less, you know.
Yeah.
530 trips per day. This year, the average was 800.
That's a lot.
It's a 270 trip increase.
Yes.
With four anglers catching two fish in the formula, right? Yeah. They have to. And so that was the big change. That was the thing that people were saying, why did this happen? That was the big change on their calculation. They were they set the season for, I guess, 530 or whatever it was last year. Maybe they went up to 550. They didn't set it for 800. Right. And this discussion is also, and you heard the discussion about, well, because of coronavirus and all this, that people couldn't go do other things. And this is a tough part. We always think about outdoors in relation to just the science of nature, critters, wildlife management, fish management. But there's also, when you're at a state agency, there's a people management that goes on in this.
Yeah.
Remember we talked to Chuck Sykes about this, director of Alabama Wildlife and Freshwater Fisheries. I've read a full study out of Georgia what happened on turkey harvest numbers. Remember Chuck Sykes saying the turkey harvest numbers went way up?
Because of COVID-19.
Yes.
Yes.
This is the part, like, once again, I don't like what's happened on the snapper front. I haven't, since the feds got involved. But they showed it in turkeys, and they're showing it now in these numbers for fishing because people couldn't go, not just like the quarantine or furlough stuff. And I think that really hit hard during turkey season. People just were not going to work and had more time. And instead of just hunting a turkey on a Saturday or Sunday, you went Wednesday, you went Monday, you went
every day.
Yeah. And I know there's some people in our audience who are lucky enough to do that. But the majority of folks are like me. They're a Saturday, Sunday, and maybe Saturday you got a kid's ball game or something.
You know, even during COVID.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that increase went up for turkeys. And the other part of it that you hear discussed here by Scott is that the other things people do, and it's very hard for Mike and I to understand this, and most of y'all listening, you know, I've said this before, for the both of us, COVID didn't affect our hobbies very much at all because our hobbies are all, we hunt and fish. That's what we do.
Yeah, we're away from people.
That's what we do normally. I mean, it's the same. But there are a lot of people, especially I would say red snapper is one of those places where you get casual fishermen, right? People that, these strange people that Mike and I don't understand that like to play golf or go ride bikes, or they have all these different hobbies.
And going snapper fishing is just one. The kids are playing ball, you know, and they're going to the ball games. And
Disney is open, those kind of things. So what Scott points out is Disney's not open. Okay, so that trip got canceled.
Yeah.
They're worried about grandma. They can't travel. They're not traveling. They can travel on planes, but people don't want to get on a plane. You know, grandma may not want to see the kids because she's worried about COVID. There are a bunch of factors that are human factors, not even fish factors, that lead it going from 530 trips a day to 800.
Yeah.
So that extra 270 trips per day average is why we ate through so much of the tonnage. And at 800 and something thousand pounds caught, they're saying we're close enough to the edge that you can fish through Friday and that's it without going over. So that's the idea. Once again, I don't like the quota. I don't like the tonnage given by the feds, but that is not the state's fault.
That's right. You know, I think if they would have looked real hard at opening weekend of amberjack season,
mm-hmm.
I think they would have said, oh, whoa, wait a minute.
Yeah.
We better reassess the snapper season because I've never seen so many people in the Gulf of Mexico fishing for amberjack in my life. It was boats from one end of that gulf.
You
to
talked
the
about
other,
that too.
Yes, and
amberjack is even more specific. If there's a bunch of people, there's fewer people who go amberjack fishing than snapper fishing.
Oh, way fewer. I mean,
and like, we should. You're right. We should have noticed when you said to us that there were a world of people out there amberjack fishing.
Never seen so many people in my life. And Sean, it was the same way this weekend. I went snapper fishing this weekend. Then I went offshore. I went deep dropping.
Okay.
And it was like a parking lot in 300 to 600 foot of water. I mean, it was like we were bumping into each other out there. It was unbelievable. Of course, it was calm. It was a beautiful day. But there was boats. I bet you 50 boats I could see in all directions that were deep dropping out there.
And I am no expert in it. I've been three times in my life with folks deep dropping. But I don't know that we saw six boats the entire time we went deep dropping.
Yeah. I'm telling you, everything. I mean, you watch and see when snapper season ends, the deep dropping is going to go wild.
Yes, because people want to bottom fish. And here's the – I'm going to say this because – and somebody said, don't – I hear this 20 times a week. Don't say that. You'll give people ideas.
Yeah.
Heck with it. Ideas are out there. That if the feds were – doing this seriously, and they were limiting seasons. You know, I'm waiting for the hate mail here, but y'all, it's not something they hadn't thought of, so I'm just going to say the thing. They should shut down all reef fishing. Because if we fish to the edge of the quota, and by the feds' estimation, we can't fish any more red snapper.
Yeah.
You know, there's no more to take out of the Gulf at this point. Then if I go scamp fishing with my buddy Mike,
yeah,
or we go deep beeliner fishing.
Right.
Okay, because deep dropping might be able to get away from the red snapper, but we're fishing beeliners, we're going to fish some lane snapper, we're going to fish mangrove snapper, all that stuff. You're telling me we're not going to catch a red snapper bycatching? If I'm beeliner fishing or scamp fishing, I'm doing it in deeper water, so I'm going to have a fish that I'm going to have to vent, but not, you know, the number of fish that are vented that make it back to the bottom.
Deep water is a lot harder than the shallow water.
So you
go in 60, 80, 90, 100 foot of water and you catch a snapper. You know, sometimes you don't have to vent them. They'll get on back down.
You go 120.
Yeah, you go 120, 150, 200, mm-hmm. 300, 400. You catch one, you know, 200, 300 foot out there.
I don't even think – I mean, you're right. But I think I've had fish that have real issues even with venting them at 120 feet.
Yes.
If they're smaller and you crank on them hard, you know, to get them up. So there's going to be red snapper caught and killed.
For sure. Absolutely.
You know, the same way that – other species, when they shut us down, say, okay, you can only fish this species. When you're talking about reef fishing, it is a smorgasbord of fish on that reef. It's amberjack, it's triggerfish, it's red snapper, it's mangrove snapper, you know?
Yeah.
It's grouper.
Yeah.
And they're all mixed. So they're closing this, and then we're all going to want to continue to keep fishing, which is right. But don't tell me there's not going to be, you know, just because there's not retention of red snapper doesn't mean there's not going to be red snapper killed.
Yeah.
And it's a shame that those can't be retained at you know.
Some point, yeah. You know, Sean, it goes back to what me and you have talked about many times on this show. If they would just open this thing up year-round.
Right. So it's not a
let
derby.
Let you keep two fish like it is right now and two fish that are legal that come over, whatever size it is, if it's legal, comes over in the boat, you have to keep it.
But the people won't do that.
But if they get caught.
I know, but you know what I'm saying, how people are. I mean, people won't. I agree with you.
Yeah.
100% agree with you. But the problem still will go back to the Feds setting the tonnage.
I understand that. But, yeah.
Some point, it could do it. And what Mike's talking about, we've talked about several times, if it was open year-round, and those of us that do this get this, and we nod. I think to a person I've talked to about this idea, everybody nods and agrees. If it was open all the time, I probably wouldn't go any more days than I go now.
That's right.
Maybe less. The pressure I'm feeling right now to go tomorrow, to try to slip out Monday, to be there Friday, when, to be frank with you, and we'll talk about this later in the show, what I need to be doing is planting some chufas and planting my dove field.
Yeah, and you would be if you wasn't pressured to go snapper fishing.
Because that's
exactly what you'd be doing.
I'm going to take trips I would not take in the next week.
Yes.
That I would not take if I didn't feel the pressure of the end of it.
And you're going to go if it's a little rougher than you normally
Absolutely.
Would go.
And, you know, I don't like to – I mean, if it's over twos or whatever,
too.
I don't
Me
go,
too.
You know?
I don't like it either. I don't go.
But I'm going to go.
But I'm going to go too. And that's what they're creating a derby out there. I mean, they're creating
yes.
a monster where you just feel like you have got to go.
And it's a self-fulfilling prophecy that the more they take away days – the more they take away tonnage or don't give us tonnage from the Fed, the quicker we will fish the tonnage
yes.
because of the scarcity feeling. It's not a
That's
real
right.
scarcity, but the feeling
right.
of scarcity of opportunity.
That's right.
All right, coming right back, talk more about this. All right, welcome back, FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. And let me remind you, got a fresh week to work with the FM Talk 106.5 Fishing Photo Contest. Now, that's on the Facebook page, the main Facebook page. So we have two of them. We have FM Talk 106.5 on Facebook, and for this show, FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors on Facebook. So you go to the main page, FM Talk 106.5. It's facebook.com/FM Talk 106.5. You'll see the item pinned to the top there. It says the FM Talk 106.5 Fishing Photo Contest. And here's how it works. Your chance you put a picture, fishing picture up. It can be new, can be old. We have kids in them. We have no kids in them. We have adults. We have your fishing picture, favorite fishing picture. Put that up and then like it and get your friends and family and enemies, whoever, to like that picture. And the more likes you get, well, then you win. All right. So whoever at the end of a week has the most number of likes, that picture, we're going to give them an FM Talk 106.5 fishing team dry fit shirt. All right. And
it's a nice shirt.
It's a nice shirt. So we're doing that every week. People say, how long's the contest? I haven't looked how many shirts I got in the box from Mike Callahan, but it's hefty. I got enough here to keep this going a long time. So make sure you check that out. Facebook.com/FM Talk 106.5. Put up your fishing picture and win one of those shirts. All right. Get right back to our conversation on snapper. Although we're talking about people as much as we're talking about snapper.
Yeah.
And people's reactions. So if you're just joining the show, hadn't heard at this point. So red snapper season that was supposed to go through Sunday, July 19th. Of course, the seasons are
That was through the rodeo weekend.
Right. And I keep always having to stop, but I think everybody here knows how it works. You get 4 days a week, except for that last weekend. But that's been cut. So now we fish today, tomorrow, Monday, and this coming Friday, July 3rd. And that's it. It's curtailed early because we've run through the tonnage the Feds gave us. And that interview that we started the hour off with Scott Bannon from Director of Marine Resources, key there is we went from an average of 530 trips a day, which they average 4 people per boat, but trips.
Right.
So trips are boats. 530 trips a day to 800 a day this year.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Big increase. They didn't see that coming, and that was, I think, a very fair argument having to do with all the changes right now, COVID-19, coronavirus, and people not doing normal trips, doing different kind of, I mean, once again, for Mike and I, our lives didn't change. Turkey season was the same. Snapper season, our hobbies are the same. But there's a lot of people that do a little bit of fishing and other stuff.
Well, a main thing this time of year is the kids are playing ball.
Kids are playing ball. And on summer vacations, going other places. I'll tell you right now, my children aren't in camp.
Yeah.
My children go
to
camp.
That's another thing. Yeah.
They go to camp. And
ball is big.
Yeah.
Baseball season this time of year, there are so many kids playing baseball, and the parents are at the games mm-hmm. on Saturdays mm-hmm. or Fridays or whenever they're having the games, and they just don't have time to do much fishing this time of the year. Typically,
now, and also, yeah, now they got time.
Yes.
And they're going, you heard Scott Bannon say, I think there was on a Friday, I think maybe last Friday, a week ago Friday, he said Dolphin Island on a Friday morning, and there are 200 and something boats and trailers on a Friday morning.
Okay, I thought it was 400, but it's 200.
Well, you're saying there, and then somebody said there's a lot more at, you know, at Cotton Bayou and all that down there. But
so
220, 230, something I can go back and listen to the number, but I think that's what he was saying. In the morning, he said they've watched it over time. He said sometimes you can see mid-morning, afternoon on Friday, you get a better number of trailers. People, they worked, but then they went, you know, and went fishing. I've done that before, be able to get out and go fishing. He said this is in the morning.
Yes.
So the pressure on a Friday, you know, was
Friday. When most people are working.
Right, but maybe because of the schedules now and people's jobs. I don't know. They're fishing.
Yeah.
They're fishing. So that's why we went through the tonnage when we did. But the problem is we being the state of Alabama, don't set the tonnage. We only allocate. And it was a part of the equation that they couldn't have foreseen. A part of the equation they could not have foreseen coming, because the equation said that 530 boats trips a day was average. It went to 800.
Right.
I mean, same thing on the turkey harvest. We talked about that with Chuck Sykes, how high the turkey reporting went up this year. And we both said, what do you think, people are doing better about using their hunt check? He said, no. He says, that means more people killed turkeys.
Yeah.
Georgia's numbers on turkeys, they were by the second week in their turkey season in Georgia, and I'm sure this will show up in Alabama, but Georgia has the info out. I think their second going in their third week of turkey season, they had already killed as many turkeys as they kill in an entire season most years.
Now, that's huge.
Because of effort.
Yeah.
Because of that many more days
that
and more
people,
chances to
that
go.
Many people off because of the
coronavirus. Yeah.
Yeah.
And all of us at work know what we're talking about here.
Yeah.
If you're hardcore about the outdoors and you didn't have to, right, we all have this struggle. We've got to be at work, do a good job, be a good dad, be a husband, do these things I'm supposed to do. The second those things let up, then I'm hunting and fishing.
That's right.
But what if you took those things away, like having to be at work and all that? Didn't do the family ball game, didn't do that. I'm going hunting and fishing.
Yeah. Mama, watch the kids.
Yeah,
I'm gone.
So I think that's what we've seen happen here. Now, how can we deal with this going forward? I don't know. I don't know, but
you know, we talked about, too, I've been going to Louisiana fishing, Sean, for so many years. I mean, you know, since back in the early 80s, been going over there fishing. And forever we'd go over there, and if we ever saw another boat, they were somebody we knew just about.
Because
they were, you know, maybe fishing a King Mackerel tournament, or if it was during the rodeo, I knew everybody was fishing over there. You
mm-hmm.
know, if I saw another boat, I could go over and talk to them because I knew them just about, because they were all from Mobile. You wouldn't see another boat over there. The people over there, they were bill fishing. The people in Louisiana, they bill fish, tuna fish, or tarpon fish, redfish, speckled trout fish. As far as amberjack, snapper, grouper, that kind of stuff, no. You would see a boat every now and then on one of the rigs out there, amberjack fishing or a grouper or snapper or something. And about 3 weeks ago when we was fishing at King Mackerel Tournament out of Biloxi, we went over there, and their snapper season is open. I've never seen so many boats in Louisiana in my life. Every rig, just like over here, was absolutely loaded with people. Every sunk rig was loaded with people. Everybody, you know, if they had a 16-foot aluminum boat with a 20-horsepower Johnson on it, they were there.
Yeah.
I mean, and I believe it's part of this derby mentality that people over there didn't even know what a snapper was hardly years ago. I'm telling you, they just didn't care about a snapper. Didn't know nothing about this, didn't care. But I think when they started saying you can only catch one, and you only have 2 days to go catch them, they started thinking, what now? What? Maybe I need to go catch some of these fish. And then they started having a season on it where they didn't have a season before. Nobody even knew what a snapper was over there, hardly. They didn't go snapper fishing. They didn't.
Right.
I'm telling you, they didn't go snapper fishing over there. And then they started saying, we have a snapper season? What is that? we need to probably go catch some of these fish if they got a season on them. And that's what I think happened. And now they're just like Alabama. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, they are loaded up with people over there snapper fishing now.
What do we keep talking about, though? We're talking about people.
Yeah.
You know, the fishery, and that's the thing that's frustrating. You got one part of this is the fishery that all of us that are responsible sportsmen and women, we want snapper populations happy, healthy, right?
And they are, yes.
We want that, and we want that to remain. At the same time, you elicit behavior out of people when, okay, what's the snapper situation is not much different than the toilet paper situation about 2 months ago.
Absolutely.
People were buying toilet paper.
It's a paper towel right now. I can't find none.
People buying stuff that they don't need and stockpiling it because they feel like. Would you go pile your cart full of toilet tissue and come down the aisle at Rouse's with it piled up like a mountain normally? No, but people did that if they could get their hands on it back then because they felt it was artificial.
I did it. I bought three giant rolls of toilet paper. I said, everybody's buying this. I ain't running out.
It was artificial, though. There wasn't. That's right. At first, there was some shortage because of how, and it was, that's a whole other show we did on the midday show. Actually, did an interview about this and how supply chains were sending a certain amount of toilet paper normally to restaurants, commercial buildings, offices, all these things. People stopped going to those things, and then we're all at home, and supply chain hadn't switched back there. But it was. There weren't fewer trees being made into pulp, being made into toilet paper.
Yeah.
Well, we got the snapper, but when you do, like Mike said, when you tell somebody that they're limited on doing it, you elicit behavior that is different than what they normally would do.
It perks people's ears up than saying, what? I didn't know that. I need to do that. Yeah.
And then because other people go, then more people, I mean, that's how it works. So, I mean, it's a psychology experiment as much as it is a marine science experiment going on out there. And, you know, we're getting the short end of this. And so is the Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo.
That's what I hate. I wish they'd cut it off yesterday.
Some people asked that. Yeah, but
I just cut it off and give it to the rodeo and let them have it for the rodeo. I hate it. And I wouldn't fish for snapper during rodeo probably, but
there's a lot of people
that do. Oh yeah, they'd have. Think about all the tickets,
cash prizes and jackpot.
Oh yeah, so it's big for the rodeo to have the snapper in.
But
there.
Think about what they're already dealing with. So we had president of the rodeo Corey Quint on Wednesday as well, and talking with Corey about this. I mean, they've had to deal with all the COVID stuff.
Yeah.
So remember they're fishing, and remember they're fishing, and we'll go through this, and we're fishing. Rodeo's fishing. But they couldn't have liars contests, captains meetings, music shows,
all the vendors,
all the stuff that goes along with the rodeo. We're fishing. We're weighing our fish. If you want to come down there and socially distance and watch some fish be weighed
and
in, that's
selling,
still okay.
They are selling hats and shirts.
Hats and t-shirts. Yep. And they said those will be on sale at weigh-in for the Roy Martin on the 11th of July. So they're still fishing. I want you all to get your tickets now. We're fishing because – first of all, it's the rodeo, and we're going to fish. Second of all, y'all realize the rodeo, which is the world's largest multi-day saltwater fishing tournament, is a charity effort of the JCs. The money they make there goes to charities like Children in Mobile County, like Dauphin Island Sea Lab, like public schools here. Yeah. It's a charity. Somebody said on Wednesday, they said, I guess they're going to lose a bunch of money. I said, the charities are going to lose a bunch of money.
That's right.
So buy your dang tickets, and because it's still – the fishing is not going to change. But, okay, so President Corey Quint's having to deal with all the show that goes around the rodeo, that not happening. And then, yeah, I'd say he gets handed a pretty bad hand of cards here with one of the signature fish along the Alabama Gulf Coast and a signature fishing tournament along the coast.
That they already had in their book, you know.
Jackpot. Category. And yep. By the way, they're replacing on the one through three, the lane snappers replacing red snapper is what they're doing. But there's no cash prize, obviously, for red snapper. There's no jackpot for red snapper.
Yeah.
It's a tough deal. But I would say this, if you're somebody that normally fishes red snapper in the rodeo, buy your ticket and fish something else because that money goes to charity. That gets lost in how cool and how much of a part of our culture the rodeo is. But they're a bunch of volunteers, the JCs, that do a charity. I mean, this is charity.
You know, at first, I didn't think they were even going to be able to sell hats and shirts and stuff. And I didn't realize how many hats and shirts they sell. They sell up close to $100,000 worth of hats and
you
shirts.
And you got to have them. If you have last year's shirt, you got to have the
new ones. Yes. Oh, got to have that. Yeah. Absolutely.
It's part of my wardrobe.
Yeah. So everybody support them and buy hats and shirts from them. That's a big moneymaker for them, for the charities.
So you've got no snapper for Roy Martin, no snapper for the big rodeo, but still those categories, 30 different categories. Lane snapper replaces red snapper.
Yeah.
Let's talk about this. We're just a couple minutes here before we go to the break. So other species. You went deep drop and you're talking about that. That's another thing people can do, although it's probably a show for the future, but I worry about the pressure put on that resource because it's shifted away from snapper that can handle it. But other species out there right now. Well, beeliner fishing?
Oh, yeah. Beeliner's great right now, especially in the deeper water out there. We could have caught a lot of beeliners the other day deep dropping. I just didn't put down the small hooks. If I'd put down the small hooks, I'd have caught, a boatload of beeliners.
What's your do you run a multi-hook rig or what do you
Yes, there's five hooks on a rig mm-hmm. when you're deep dropping. Now, listen, I'm new to deep dropping myself.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've been knowing this deep dropping for years, and I did it 30 years ago, just went out in like 400 or 500 foot of water.
But you didn't have a name back then.
I didn't even know what it was or nothing, but me and a friend of mine, Cecil Capps, we said, let's go out and see what's out in 400 or 500 foot of water. And we went out there and dropped down. We didn't catch anything. But after we cranked that line up about twice with a four-aught or six-aught reel or whatever we had, we said, let's go do something different.
But now with electric reels and just better technology.
Yeah,
some of the stuff I'm looking at on your boat.
On my mapping system now that I have on my boat, it shows every rock, every edge, everything out there. So now it's no guesswork to it. A little guesswork, but it takes a
general
lot of
area.
It takes most of the guesswork out of it. You just go see, man, that's a pretty edge right there. Look at how it drops off there. 300 foot right there. We need to go over and fish right there next to that drop off or something. Yeah, it's. That mapping system really helps on your deep drop.
So we do have some other species out there. We'll talk about when we come back and wrap it up right here on FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Remember, your fishing photos over at the Facebook page, facebook.com/FM Talk 106.5. You can win a shirt. All right, as always, I've messed around and run us late in the show.
Shame on you, Sean.
Yes, it is.
We still got a lot to talk about.
Yes, very much so. And by the time we talk next week's show, well, we'll probably record next week's show sometime during the week because it'll be 4th of July. I'll be out setting off fireworks.
Me too.
Okay, yeah, right. But we will. We'll get into, you're talking about deep dropping and your deep dropping trip. We're going to start talking about a few other things for folks that have been kind of in that mentality is just all red snapper all the time. This gets taken away. What do you go do? I tell you one thing I'm getting excited about. Watching, because it is a weakness for me because I've always kind of been a rig fisherman, kings around the rigs, and some trolling for them, but usually tied up, drifting baits or ling, red snapper, trigger fish.
Yeah.
I don't know a whole bunch about trolling, like big time trolling. So I'm going to go to school with you on that.
I'll teach you.
All right. And we'll all learn. All right. That's coming up on future shows. Remember, you can check out this podcast if you want to share it. It'll be online probably 30, 45 minutes from now. You can grab it from our website, fmtalk1065.com. Just click the tab that says podcast. Prep Sports Report on the way next.